Hey y'all, welcome back to the Empowering the Future of Agriculture podcast with me, Carson Osteen. Today, we are joined by the 2024-2025 West Tennessee FFA Regional Secretary, Alexa MacArthur. Alexa, if you'd like to introduce yourself, go ahead.
Yes, of course. So I am Alexa MacArthur, and I'm a senior at Dyersburg High School. I'm currently the FFA president of the Dyersburg FFA chapter. And like you said, I am the regional secretary for West Tennessee. So I'm very excited. We've had so many opportunities together, and I'm very excited for what this year is holding for me.
So to kind of start it off, this is kind of tying in with your introduction. I know you're a member of the Dyersburg FFA chapter, and do you want to walk us through maybe what your FFA journey has looked like over the years?
Yeah, of course. So I would say that my FFA journey has certainly been atypical. I never grew up with agriculture in my life. I didn't grow up on a farm or anything. Like, I currently live in a subdivision, so I definitely don't have that typical FFA background and agricultural background that most people have, but that certainly hasn't stopped me. So my freshman year of high school, I joined FFA. That was my first year, and I was really excited. I was really on fire for it. I was going to exhibit a goat my freshman year, but I decided not to just so that I could really understand what high school was like before getting into that. So I actually waited for that. But I did immediately start doing contests. So the first contest that I did when I was a freshman was the conduct of chapter meetings contest. And I was the vice president on my team, and we placed really well. We actually went to the regional competition and we advanced, and we got, I believe it was third or fourth in the region. I can't really remember, but for all of us being new to FFA, we were super excited about that. And then later on in February, that was whenever the individual regional contests were coming up, and I did the Creed speaking contest. And that was a really big deal to me just because I never knew how good I could be at public speaking, but that contest really brought that aspect out in me. And at that contest, I got first in the region, and then I went to state and I got third at state. So that was definitely the biggest moment of my FFA career at that time. I was just so proud of myself, thankful for all of my advisors, and I was really on fire for the future. But I started my sophomore year, and I like to say that I entered kind of a sophomore slump. And I call it that because I couldn't really get motivated throughout the year. School was starting to get a little bit difficult, so it was hard to focus on extracurriculars like FFA. And it was just really hard for me to get in a groove of things like I had my freshman year. So I did exhibit a hog my sophomore year. And I found that that really just wasn't for me. I didn't hate it at all. It was a fun experience, but I didn't exactly enjoy it in ways that I thought I would. So I tried it and decided I didn't love it. I did do parliamentary procedure my sophomore year, and I did enjoy that. I was a debater. I wasn't the chair. So that was nice to get some experience debating and understanding how that parliamentary procedure works. And I don't think that my team advanced that year, but we were all brand new to it, so it's a really good learning curve for us. And then my sophomore year, I actually didn't do any individual contests at all, which looking back, I'm kind of surprised that I didn't. But like I said, I was in that slump. I couldn't exactly find myself in FFA yet. I didn't know what my place was. So I really couldn't see myself fitting into any of those contests. So my junior year rolled around, and that's when I kind of started getting on fire a little bit again. I was starting to enjoy some of my FFA classes a little bit better, and I was just really starting to enjoy agriculture itself. So junior year, I did do the parliamentary procedure contest again, and this year I took it very seriously. I realized I really enjoyed my duties as a debate member. I really enjoyed debating and learning all these facts about FFA. And at the regional contest, my team didn't advance, but I did earn the top All West Tennessee Debate Member Award, which was really big to me. And considering I was coming off a pretty slow year, that was a really good way to kick it off and to really get excited for the year ahead of me. So I started talking to my advisor about doing another LDE by myself, and I started doing the employment skills contest because it wasn't something that was super agriculturally focused. I could kind of choose my own career that I wanted to talk about, and I could go further from there. So I did the employment skills contest at the regional level. I got first in the region, which was a complete shock. I had no idea what was coming for me in that contest, and juniors and seniors can both do it. So it was absolutely insane that I was the regional champion. And then I went to state, and at the time, I had no idea who I was competing against, but afterward, I realized I was competing against the T. Wayne Williams and the Skylar Baird. Absolutely horrifying. I was terrified. But I got third at state in that, which was actually really, and I actually got third behind those two, which was equally as insane. So that was a really good experience for me as well. And then coming back from that state convention is whenever I decided I wanted to run for a regional office, and that's where I am today.
So that actually leads perfectly into the next question. So we both walked through the regional officer process this last year, and of course, West is different from Middle and East, but would you want to walk through what you like experienced throughout the whole process?
Yeah, absolutely. Just like my FFA journey, I would say that my regional officer journey was also a little bit unique. I didn't decide that I wanted to run for a regional office until I came back from state convention my junior year. So I came back from state convention, I think it was on a Wednesday, and then all of the paperwork to run for a regional office was due that following Monday.
I did the
And I
exact
actually
same
didn't
thing.
even I didn't even start the paperwork until that Friday night because I didn't even know what it was. So it was certainly a last minute scramble. I never went to any prep courses. I had no idea what they were. I hadn't gotten a lot of time to study. I knew a lot of basic FFA knowledge, but I didn't really get to study a lot of the green hand tests, like honestly, like I probably should have. I just didn't know. I had no idea what to prepare for. So I really went into that contest with my advisor just telling me to be myself. And I was like, okay, I could probably do that with no training, hopefully. I didn't even know. And I got to the contest. So many people were so kind. So it was just so nice. I felt like I was fitting in there. I felt like I was with my FFA people, and it was so nice. But yeah, I went into the interview completely unprepared. I had just the basic knowledge that I've accumulated over the years, talked to the judges, took my test, and then honestly, I just praised the Lord that I even got an office because in hindsight, I literally have no idea what came over me. Like, I just decided to come back and decided that running for regional office was, it seemed interesting, it seemed fun. And it honestly wasn't even until a few weeks after I won the office that I realized that people go to prep courses for that. And I was like, oh my goodness, what the heck? That was so crazy to me. But yeah, that's how it was running for the regional office. And then since then, the team is absolutely phenomenal. We have worked so well together, and it's been such a blessing to be surrounded by them. But yeah, so it's just been great. I'm very thankful to even be in this position. And now that I know about prep courses, I am going to them, which is something I should have been doing, but now I definitely know about them and I am excited for them. So that's how my regional officer experience has been so far.
Yeah, and of course, walking into those rooms for interviews, for tests, anything like that, it's nerve-wracking, and
Oh, yeah.
it was something to say the least. And
And I was like, I was, oh, I'm sorry, what were you saying?
nothing, you're good.
And I was like just getting off of the employment skills contest. So I had been in an interview room like that week with state judges. So that was, I was kind of getting off the exhilaration from that. That was starting to wear off. And then I was just getting like into this big ball of anxiety immediately after trying to talk to these judges about being a regional officer that I didn't even know I wanted until a few days before. So that was, it was just, I looking back, it was so out of character for me to just decide last minute to do something, but I'm very thankful that I decided to do it.
See, and it's crazy because I have like a similar story to the whole thing. We came back from state and we were on the bus ride, and I think we just got like across the line from like Middle Tennessee to West Tennessee. And I went up to our advisor and I'm like, "Hey, we have a candidate, by the way," because I just went back there and filled out the Google form out of nowhere. And I kind of toyed around with the whole idea, like maybe back in January or so. I had a application filled out pretty much, and I just put it on the side burner or the back burner. I was like, yeah, I'll do it next year or whatever. And just something at stake made me want to do it. And
That's exactly
yeah.
how I felt. I was like, wow, this kind of feels nice. Like, let's just try it. The worst that could happen is they say no. Like,
It's a huge learning experience too, for any, like, even if you don't get a position, like it's something that you can easily build on. And maybe if you want to go for state the following year, or region, the if you're able to go region again, like it's something that you can learn from and get a
Oh,
lot
yeah.
from, definitely. So this can kind of lead into the next question. What has been your favorite thing to do in FFA?
Ooh. Wow. Okay, so many parts of FFA are just so like enticing, so that's actually, it's so hard to pick one. But I would say that I really do enjoy like competing in the LDEs and the CDEs. That's just really been my favorite part of FFA so far, just because that's where I've seen the most growth in myself. Because I didn't realize what my full potential was until I started putting myself out there in some of these contests. So it kind of happened with parliamentary procedure. I did it my sophomore year, but I wasn't too successful, and I honestly wasn't super focused on it just because I was still trying to find my place in FFA and just as a person, as a young person in this world. It was just really a lot to have to go through that year. But my junior year is when I really started to get a really good understanding of it. And that's whenever I started seeing some growth in myself. I got the top debater award, which is super incredible. I still don't even know how that happened, but that was just something that was so nice. And then with the employment skills contest, definitely placing third in the state has been something that's really stuck out to me. And they've been my favorite, not just because they've been successful, but just because of the failure that it took to get there and the things that I've learned about myself. Just because sometimes whenever you succeed at a lot of things, you don't really know what you're capable of because you keep doing the same things. But whenever you have to take those steps back and keep trying something, that's when you learn more about yourself. So those two contests have definitely been my favorite things at FFA so far because of what they've taught me.
Yeah, I was the episode that I did with Sarah a few weeks ago. One thing that either me or her, one of us said was like, yeah, success isn't like guaranteed. You're gonna have so much failure in what you do, like within this organization sometimes, and that's perfectly fine because you learn from it, and then you're eventually able to become better and exceed at whatever you do in the future, and that's something that I've seen a good bit over the past few years. Every chance that you get to do something, you might fail miserably, or you might do, go win first in the state, go to nationals and do awesome. But either way, you're gonna get so much from it. And yeah, so speaking of getting like stuff from an event, so recently you went to week three of camp, and honestly, that was the best week of camp this year. I don't know, nobody else can really argue that. So do you want to share a little bit about what you took from week three of camp this year?
Yes, I will agree that week three was the best week. I mean, nobody else can attest to that, but I can, and I will say that it was the best. And this year at camp, it was actually my very first year going to camp. So I really had to learn a lot from it. I had no idea what would happen on a daily basis. And people, I feel like camp is something that is so hard to explain because unless you're there, you have no idea what's about to happen. Like, there is an itinerary and there is a schedule, but it is just such organized chaos where you're just surrounded by a bunch of people exactly like you, either playing volleyball in the sand or like flipping over in a canoe. There was just so much going on all the time. But my experience, it was just like other things. I just learned so much, not about myself, but more about the organization of FFA. So I am my chapter's president, so I was chosen to be on the council. And I was actually late to our very first council meeting because I had no idea where to go. I was walking around in that admin building like a fool. I'm pretty sure I like ran into the bathroom at one point thinking that's where I was supposed to be. I had no idea where to go. But I finally found the camp council room down in the basement, it felt like. And, there are like 17 other people looking at me like I'm crazy because I'm stumbling in there late. But I remember from that very first camp council meeting, like I was really going to enjoy that week just because of what they said my responsibilities were going to be as a camp council member, the way that we got to lead chants and lead icebreakers. That was really exciting for me. And honestly, everybody who was in that camp council room was just really supportive, and everyone was so kind and equally excited for the week ahead. So most of the people in that room had been to camp before, but I think I was the only one who hadn't been. It was me and maybe one other person, but everyone was equally as excited. So we all just shared this excitement and this love for what was about to happen to us at camp. And that was really fun, just being with that council the whole week and every session. But it was also fun watching my chapter grow. So my chapter, we took our high school chapter, but we also took kids from our middle school chapter, which was a little interesting, but it was honestly so much fun because the high schoolers and the middle schoolers went to some of our classes together, and oh my gosh, we were cutting a rug at some points. Like, we were just, I don't even know, we were paying attention and we were definitely learning. But there were times where we would look over at each other and you could tell some people had no idea what was happening. Like, trying to explain to a middle schooler what parliamentary procedure was definitely very confusing for them and for me. I was like, how do you explain this to somebody? Like, it's just one of those things that FFA people just know. But definitely seeing how the bond between our high school and our middle school grew was just really something so special to watch, because that's the future of FFA right there. And it was just so nice to see what they learned and what they enjoyed about camp. And then later on throughout the week, I did get elected as the week three camp council president, which was a huge honor to me, especially considering I went in there not knowing anybody on that camp council. And then coming out as the president, that was just such a special moment to me. And I was so thankful for the team voting me for that. And then it was just so nice watching the very last day, all of the awards unfold. I did get the gold star in leadership. I think that's what they called it, the gold
Yeah,
star,
gold
something like
something,
that.
yeah.
Yeah, so I got that in the leadership, which was also super amazing. So it was my first year, but I saw a lot of success at it. I learned a lot about myself and my team and about other people. I got to meet so many fun people from Middle and East Tennessee, as well as people from West Tennessee. And it was just so nice getting to see everybody with the same passion and purpose all in one area.
Oh, definitely. Like it's camp is easily the one week of the summer that really draws you out of your shell with anything, and honestly that's something that I've really felt or noticed over the past year, because when I went fresh or after freshman year, I was the little shy kid that would sit in the corner of my classes and just watch and let other people do the work. And compared to this year, I was up and going and actually excited to be there. So that, I mean, that's just one thing that FFA will let you do in general. But so the next question that I have is, what is something that you would tell an FFA member that is hesitant to get involved?
So, coming from somebody who hasn't grown up in agriculture, I would definitely say to someone who's looking at FFA but is in the same shoes as me, do not let that hinder you. There are so many opportunities in FFA for people who have grown up on a farm and for people who have grown up within the city limits. There is just something for everybody to find. And I would, but for every single person, what I mean, agriculture background or not, I would definitely say just don't be afraid to fail at some things. And I take this piece of advice with me wherever I go. I'm in a lot of different activities at school and outside of school, but throughout every single activity, including FFA, the one piece of advice that has gotten me through a lot is understanding that failure is not a final destination. It's really just a learning curve and something that can be used to shape you as a person. I mean, my FFA career has not been 100% successful by any means at all. I've definitely experienced some failure myself, but as I've matured and looked back on that failure, I realized that it was just like a redirection to point me into a direction that I was really meant to go in. So I used to think that I wanted to be a veterinarian, and then I gave one shot to a goat this last year and decided that was certainly not the path for me. That was absolutely horrible. I'm pretty sure I almost fainted. It was really not, it was whew, the needle was so sharp. I just could not do that. That was so scary. But just because I wasn't good at that doesn't mean that I'm a loser at life and I need to drop out of FFA. I just realized that there's a different place in agriculture for me. And I think that that's something that everybody can really take away from it. Just understanding that just because you fail, that does not define you as a person. Instead, just use it to morph you into something even better.
So about 3 months ago, you were selected as a regional secretary. So in the amount of time that you've had in this position, what has been like your favorite thing about being a regional officer?
My favorite thing would definitely be growing close to the other members that are officers. So we actually had a meeting this summer in Jackson. This is a quick little story time actually. And me, as well as Abby, the treasurer, and Jack, the vice president, we all live pretty close together. Like we're all within a 20-minute radius of each other. And for that meeting that was in Jackson, I texted them and I was like, hey, why don't we just carpool? Why don't we ride together? You know, that would be so smart. And they were like, absolutely. When are you going to pick us up? Like, where do you want us to meet so that you can pick us up? I have never driven to Jackson in my whole life. I was not intending for me to be the Uber to the Los Portales in Jackson. And I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, what the heck? And I was like, okay, Abby, just come to my house. And Jack, I'll just meet you at the Olympic Steakhouse or something like that. I didn't even know. So I'm scared for my life. Like, oh, I also deep cleaned my car. It literally looked like I got maintenance to come to my car because I did not want them to think I was some animals. So I deep cleaned my car and I go to pick up Jack and Abby. And we're driving to Jackson, and there were definitely some times I had a super speedy left turn out of the Los Portales at one point, and they both thought the car was about to flip. It wasn't. They were just being really dramatic. And then I had another speedy turn right into the crumble cookie that was like 2 feet down. They were also really overdramatic about that one. That was not bad either. But just the bond that we developed ever since that meeting has been so special, not just between us three, but between everyone as a team. We've just all been able to laugh through some things together. We've not been perfect at all. We've definitely made some mistakes and we've been trying to figure stuff out. But we have just developed a special appreciation for each other and each other's gifts. And that's just been so wonderful coming in as a regional officer, especially as one who didn't know that she was going to run for regional office. It's just so nice knowing that everyone appreciates each other and that we're able to form these special memories together, even if it's a really bad turn onto Van Drive in Jackson.
Them roads in Jackson are another story.
It wasn't even bad. I don't even know why they were so dramatic about it. Like, it was not bad.
So, in kind of lean or continuing from that, what is something that you're looking forward to, like with the rest of your year of service?
Looking forward to rope. I'm actually leaving for that very soon. What day is it today? Okay, I don't go this weekend, but I go next weekend. So I'm super excited about that because we get to grow even closer together as the West Tennessee officer team, but I get to meet the Middle and the East Tennessee officers, which is going to be super exciting. And they actually have this like hashtag or this thing going on. I don't even know, but they are saying that the West is the worst, which is actually, I'm taking such personal offense to that. So we're going to have to clear some air at rope and understand that it's not how it goes. It's West is best. It's supposed to rhyme. But we have to clear that up when we get to rope. But I'm just excited to see what our team has planned for this year. We already have some ideas going. So we're going to try some new things to keep the Western region super involved with each other to make us super interconnected. But I can't wait to see what new ideas come from all three regions whenever we go to rope. So that's something that I'm really excited for. And I'm also really to see what our I'm excited to see what our impact is on West Tennessee. I feel like every regional officer team is known for something special, and I just really am excited to see how our futures unfold and to see what we're going to be known for.
Yeah, Abby was talking about the whole, thing on the episode we just did, and yeah.
I
So,
mean, I don't even know where West's worst came from. That was so offensive. I mean.
it's not even like catchy or anything like that.
Yeah, I know. I hope some Middle and East Tennessee regional officers are listening right now because that was really hurtful. That was so uncalled for.
As Emma said, just put the hater blockers
I swear, we're all sleeping on them haters.
So, the next question I want to ask you is about your SAE and what you plan to do with that in the future.
Right, so my SAE is in agricultural education, and that was actually a really recent change. I didn't change it to that until I think it was state convention this year. And that's because that's really when I decided that agricultural education is really what my path is laid out for. And that was really open to me this past March. So in agricultural education, I'm really trying to encourage younger kids to realize I'm not encouraging them to be an ag teacher. Instead, I'm trying to help them find what their path is in agriculture. Because I feel like for me, it was a little bit harder for me to find what my true path was because I didn't grow up in it. So many times, whenever people grow up on a farm or grow up with a really rich agricultural background, they already have a pretty good understanding of what they're going to continue to do in their agricultural future. But in my shoes, I didn't really know that yet. It took me a long time to get on that path and to realize what I was made for in agriculture. So I'm really trying to work with kids to help them realize, first of all, they don't have to have this one vision in their head. They don't have to be from a farm to be super successful. But I also just want them to understand that they have their own special talents, they have their own super special abilities, and then they can use them for the better in agriculture, just like I had to learn this year. So it took me a long time to learn, but my goal is to make sure that other kids know from a pretty young age that they have a purpose in agriculture, and I really want to help them find that.
Oh, definitely. So you mentioned that you competed in the employment skills competition this past year and placed third in the state. Would you want to maybe just dive into why that competition in particular is like special to you, or how would you pitch that competition to maybe a member that's interested?
Yeah, so for the first part of that, it was really interesting to me because As a little side quest, I compete in pageants, and something that I do is an interview in that. So I've been doing interviews a long time growing up. I've just known to be, I mean, I'm pretty good at an interview. I can talk to a panel of judges pretty comfortably. So that's just something that I've always considered to be something that comes natural to me. So when I found out that there was an FFA contest strictly for an interview, I was like, oh, sign me up. Like, that is definitely what I want to do. And I feel like for me, it didn't take much convincing to get me to do the employment skills contest just because I've had so much experience in front of a panel of judges in an interview. But if I had to pitch it to somebody else, I would definitely preface it by saying, if you don't think that interviews are exactly your style, if you don't think you'd be great in front of a panel of judges in an interview, don't dismiss it immediately. Certainly try and do some mock interviews, but also understand that that is completely okay if that is not your jam. Like, some people just do not like interviews, and that is 100% okay. But to people who are interested in that portion of it, and anyone can practice an interview. I mean, certainly anyone can be great at it, but it's all about what you're comfortable doing. You would never want to be put in a competition, especially where you just feel like you would have to fake something. But to get people to do it, the most enticing part about it is that you get to pick which career you're applying for. So mine was a summer internship being a veterinarian technician assistant. And we chose that because in the summertime, I play a sport, I do dance, and in the mornings, I always have dance practice. But I said, like, I would tell my coach about this, and I would skip all of the summer practices so that I could be at the internship full time. So it gives you a lot of room for like creativity and imagination. You really can make up as many parts of it as you want. And that's what was really fun to me, just getting to come up with all the tiniest details of this internship with this fake job. So that's something that I would definitely say is super fun to get people to do it. And then also understanding that it's less of like a paper and pen test, and it's less of a knowledge test, and more of a people skills test is what I like to say. It's just really how well do you communicate with people, and how well are you communicating what you think your future is in the FFA?
Yeah, like I mentioned, I think I mentioned it earlier. I honestly can't remember what I've said. But yeah, it gives you, like, any competition gives you the chance to do absolutely anything, and it doesn't matter if you know a lick about it or not. I mean, you're still gonna pull so much from it. And so the next question, or actually the last question that I have is, where do you see the future of FFA?
So, since I've gotten to learn so much about FFA in the last 3 years, I can see that the future is certainly really bright. Just seeing how successful our current generation is in FFA and seeing how invested we are in agriculture now, I definitely see the future of FFA as something that is super bright and super successful. It's just been so wonderful going to state conventions, seeing how many people are fully invested into agriculture and looking at the time and dedication that they put into it. It's honestly really inspiring just seeing that there are people our age who are actively making a difference in the agricultural world. So, yeah, I definitely see the future of FFA and the future of agriculture being super successful and being driven by some very determined leaders.
Yeah, it is definitely headed into a great direction, of course, with us getting close to that 1 million member mark, and
Yeah.
it's a little bit of
That's crazy.
that's a good bit of people.
Oh, yeah.
So that is all that I do have for this episode. Is there any like closing remarks that you'd like to give?
Well, I would like to say thank you so much for inviting me to be on your podcast. I've loved listening to it, and it's just been, I'm so glad that you're doing this because it brings a student perspective into the side of agriculture that many people don't get to see. So kudos to you for having this podcast, and thank you so much for inviting me to be on it.
Of course. So, like I said, that is all that I have for this episode today, guys. I will have another one dropping next Monday at 8 a.m. And until then, well, I mean, I guess I'll see y'all, or I'll see y'all next week. Thank y'all for listening.